The Cork Food Stories Podcast with Clara Cooney, Cork's Red FM.
Welcome back to Cork Food Stories Podcast. I'm Clara Cooney, owner of Clara Cooks. I do everything from reorganizing your kitchen, teaching you how to cook, whether it's a one-on-one class, a group fun night with your friends and family, and also have a private chef service for your in-home entertaining. On top of this, I love the chats and talking about anything and everything food. In this series, I'm talking to business owners who in the past few years took a leap of faith, just like myself, and followed their passion to set up their own food-related business. On today's podcast, I'm talking to the lovely duo, Jenny Toomey and Jill O'Brien of Green Towers Ireland. Now, if you don't know about these towers already, this will give you a great insight into the new way of growing your herbs and greens through portable growing towers. Hello, girls. Welcome to the podcast. Lovely to have you on.
Hi, Clara.
Hi, Clara. Thanks for having us.
Not at all. It's my pleasure. I am really looking forward to this chat and learning more about all your towers. So I always like, just before we kind of get into the business side of it, I love just to get back to the story of your childhood and also your own experience with food. Now, Jenny, you were born in Missouri, so I'm very intrigued to know what life was like for you growing up.
Let's see, how can I paint this picture? I grew up in a small town surrounded by farms. I am one of two, and like all Americans, I'm a mixture of German, French, Swiss, and Polish, so a little bit of everything. And I suppose three out of my four grandparents grew up on a farm.
Wow, and okay, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, right in the middle of, I suppose, farmland USA.
So were you on the farm when you were growing up yourself?
No, my grandparents grew up on farms, and they would have also had, like, I would have spent time in the garden with them.
Yeah.
But I suppose I'm a generation away from that, really, because my parents weren't farmers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. That's, but I'm right in the middle of everything.
That's nearly dairy, a lot like corn. Irish as well. Yeah. You know, the Irish, you know, it's nearly like we've all had that background of some kind of farming in our background. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I never dreamed I'd be doing it ever.
Well, you're the modern Jenny. It's a little different.
Definitely a tiny bit different, that's for sure.
Exactly, exactly. And Jill, of course, you're from Fountainstown and one of six children.
Well, I have to laugh when Jenny said I'm from a small town in Missouri. It doesn't get any smaller than Fountainstown, I'm afraid, Jen.
Is Fountainstown actually a town?
I'm not sure. It's as small as it gets, but
it's a lovely town.
It's a beautiful place. Beautiful exactly. Place to grow up by the seaside. And again, surrounded by farmland, I suppose, which didn't feature too much, but our grandparents were also farmers and cattle dealers, and my grandfather had a butcher shop in the English Market, so that's where our major love of food started, I guess. And yeah, it was all about food. Sunday lunches that's were amazing. Legendary with the roast beef and the spiced beef and the corned beef and any type of beef you like, any type. It was just a big part of our lives growing up, I suppose.
How long was your grandfather in the English Market?
He was there for, God, I don't know, I suppose 40 years overall. After he passed on, my aunt took over the stall, my aunt and uncle. So they were there after that. And we would have worked all our childhood summers there as well, you know, and Saturdays and that. So it was a great experience growing up there. Though it wasn't quite as cool and trendy as it is now. it was cool enough. It was great. A great place to grow up, really, you know.
You must have just learned so much about food working in there, just being around the other people. Because I know that there's people who have been there a very long time.
There are. And I think he had cousins in there as well. Collins were their name. And there's a few different Colin stalls in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're long gone now, to be honest, Clara. But yeah, it was a huge part of our lives. And my mum actually had a restaurant in Princes Street as well. Called Truffles.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Which was kind of fed from the market stall, obviously. So yeah, it was all about food, I'm afraid.
All about food. And of course your dad was in the wine business as well, wasn't he?
He was in the wine business, yeah. He worked for Gilby's and was in the hospitality business for most of his career, really. So again, there was all sorts of socializing with food and wine, and you know, it was great. It was just part of it. Like Sunday lunches were legendary in our house in Fountainstown. Still are, actually.
Good. So, good to hear.
Yeah.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. That's great. That's amazing. I love that. And Jenny, so you graduated with a BSc in hotel management, and you worked in sales management for large hotel groups for a while, and then a medical rep for a number of years before being introduced to the Growing Towers. So tell us a little bit about how that happened. I mean, how did you come across the Growing Towers?
What a mix, huh?
I know.
I know. I suppose, I mean, I always loved food. And obviously, when you go through hotel and hospitality management, so that school was part of the College of Agriculture at the University of Missouri, which was the College of Agriculture, Food and Natural Resources. And so I loved the sciencey side, but it was really probably the glamour of the hotel and hospitality industry and where that might take me, like out of Missouri as quickly as possible. That probably drew me to it. Plus my love of people. I love people. And so I've always liked the sales and marketing side, and spending a lot of time in hospitality and around people and good food and entertaining just was always a bit of fun. And I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. The medical repping, I suppose the science was always there. And I suppose our health is always connected to our food and our lifestyle. But quite honestly, a big draw was that it paid a lot better than the hospitality industry. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I got into it. But I like the towers. I saw Tower Tim in Orlando at a conference, and he was presenting on the future of food. And he was on stage talking about the Tower Garden and the technology behind it. And immediately I got it. I was drawn to it because while, you know, I did grow up on the Missouri River, surrounded by farmland, traditional agriculture. My grandparents were great farmers, but I had mixed results myself in soil farming. So, or soil growing just for myself. Yes. I mean, it's not easy and no. It's hit or miss. It really is tricky. And when I saw the towers, I thought, I wonder if I can do this. So that's where I saw it. That's what really caught my eye. But I just started myself in my own home, really.
So you started a few years ago then, just bringing it home and seeing what it was like back in Missouri. Was this even before you met your husband?
No, Brian and I were together before that. We actually met in college. He is Irish, but he was in Missouri in the engineering college doing his master's in engineering. So we met in Missouri. Yeah. He calls it Misery, for the record. Because it's surrounded by, you're landlocked completely, and the only water, I mean, coming from an island as beautiful as this, surrounded by the coast and the beautiful sea, you know, to be in the middle of Missouri around a few rivers and lakes just wasn't ideal. The sailing wasn't quite the same.
No, you know? Definitely not.
So no, I did. I met him in college, and no, the towers really, and that came after we were living in Ireland here. So we've been here 14 years now.
So. Wow. Okay. So, you saw this guy, what did you call him? Tower Tim?
I call him Tower Tim. His name is Tim Blank. He's the brilliant mind behind Tower Garden. So he's the horticulturist, and he started out at Disney's Epcot Land and Sea project, and he was in charge of their hydroponics and aeroponics display there. And he was doing a presentation on the future of food, and he had just started his business called Future Growing, and really that's where I saw him. But he's from Florida, lived in Florida
at the time. All right, okay, brilliant. And am I right, Jenny, is there some truth about the research of these towers being done in NASA?
Yes, you're right. I'd say that connection came, you know, between Disney, and obviously NASA is in Florida and Disney's in Florida. So NASA has done a lot of work on growing food in space and what that would look like. And they've done a lot of work with aeroponics. And they have done some research on you know, what I suppose production wise and what you can expect and in terms of growth, but also how to do it with just a little bit of space and a little bit of water and and natural resources. So yes, there is a lot of science. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So you came back 14 years ago and with the tower in your luggage. Now that must have been fun in Irish customs trying to explain that one.
Oh, I didn't bring the tower 14 years ago. I only brought the tower 5 years ago, but okay, it still was quite an experience because I checked it in oversized luggage. And they were like, "What is it?" And I said, it's a tower garden. It's a garden. Well, kind of. It's hydroponic. And they were like, "So what are you growing?" You know, everybody has that question when you say hydroponics.
Of course.
Because people don't quite know what aeroponics is, but hydroponics, their mind goes to other places. So yeah, it definitely makes for some interesting conversations.
Well, definitely. And especially Ireland being, you know, such an agricultural country as well. And they'd be looking at you going, "You're doing what?" You know, I can just imagine it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. Fantastic. But it made it here safe and sound. So
brilliant. And Jill, you graduated, of course, in UCC and you still have a great career as a dental hygienist, which you still continue doing alongside the Green Towers business. Now you must be one busy lady. So tell us a little bit about you and your kind of interest and, you know, in the Green Towers and looking at that.
Well, really, I saw the tower at Jenny's house and we became friends through our kids who were in the same class in school. And our shared love of food, I suppose, was how we probably got to be friends in the first place. But she had the tower in her kitchen and I was looking at it and I was going, "Whoa, oh my God, amazing." Like, and I was like, all right, a bit skeptical at the start. And I was kind of going, okay, yeah, not sure. Yeah, taste it. Oh my God. Now, Jenny is an amazing cook, Clara. So she will rustle up a dinner in 5 minutes out of nothing, basically, plus the tower, from whatever comes from the tower. And it was the food. It was tasting the food. The flavors are so intense because of the way it's grown, basically aeroponically, and all the oxygenation to the roots and all the rest of it. It's just amazing. You have to taste it to believe it. I mean, you have tasted it. You know what it's like.
I've tasted it,
Yeah, so nothing would do me then only to have one for myself. So 2 years ago, we took off, the two of us, Jenny and I, to California to a conference to see the tower farms in action and to kind of, you know, see it on a grand scale, if you like. And yeah, that was it. We've never looked back, really. I was convinced in about 5 minutes. Plus, we get to meet Tower Tim that day. And we were like nearly like bowing to him. He was just so amazingly, you know, informative. And he's low key, isn't he, Jen? He's quite low key.
Yeah.
Like he's sort of, he's just so knowledgeable and makes it all sound so simple. And that's what he wants. That's the message he wants to give, actually, is that it is so simple. ABC, grow. Like, it's, you know, there's no bending, no weeding, no tilling. It's he wants it to be fun and simple, you know.
Yeah.
And he wants everybody to be able to do it. So, yeah, it's just an easy product to use. And like to be able to step a couple of steps from your kitchen table and pick your dinner or the kids to, you know, pick stuff for their lunch while they're making a sandwich or whatever it is that you like to eat. You know, that's
And I'd say it must make such a difference at home, just knowing that there's no chemical use for feeding your family as well. With, you know, I think we've all become very aware about, you know, cooking and what we're putting into our food. And we're very lucky in Cork. We do have some great produce here as well. And people are definitely out seeking better products for their family.
Without doubt. Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a sell in itself. Absolutely. So I suppose obviously you realized there was a big gap in the market here and started to look at Ireland as being a business for both of you. So talk us through that.
Well, Jenny was trying to convince me for a little while because she's very knowledgeable on the subject. And really, I learn from her every day. She's great. So she talked me into it for a little while. My mum was ill at the time and I kind of couldn't get my hands, you know, my head around it. I just wasn't ready. And then, as I say, that trip to California sold it. So then you take it up from there, Jen.
So I don't know. We didn't like the whole business plan, the word of a business plan actually kind of scared us. It's just that we
laugh
knew
when we heard that.
You believed in your product.
Yeah. And I suppose after seeing some of the things that have been done in North America and just thinking about like that, the reality is population is going to only grow. And whether we like it or not, more people are going to be living in urban environments. And we just, you know, the thought of like having, like Jill said, having it in your home like that is a luxury. And then having food in the middle of a city center or in a closer to where food is consumed is just good for us and good for the planet, you know. So I don't know that we had necessarily the big business plan. We just kind of were looking for the right timing. And Clara, as you said, I was a little nervous because Ireland is very traditional agriculture. And Jill and I, we weren't 100%. While we thought it was amazing, we weren't 100% sure how people would receive it here. Mm. You know, it's like North America is obviously different. Now, I'm from Missouri and Missouri is very traditional as well. And there's several tower farms, whether they're small, you know, on site or even some larger ones producing for restaurants and then, you know, going into some of the larger markets. But it takes time. It's like these things kind of start in the bigger cities and then they filter their way in. And so it was for us, it was just a love and a passion for the food and the product and wanting to share that with others, I think, wasn't it, Jill?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So tell me about your, like, okay, so knowing that, right, and coming into Ireland, so what was your marketing plan? I mean, what was your plan? How we, like, and we'll talk about kind of the pavilion and Cork rooftop in a second, but what was your initial plan in getting the business out there?
I think initially we were probably looking at the home towers more as, you know, as a start sort of thing to introduce the Irish people to the kind of the, you know, start small with the little home tower. But actually it kind of completely turned on its head and it's ended up being more about the farms than the home towers, hasn't it, Jen?
Yeah, it's I suppose it was what we knew about the home towers and it was what we were doing. And so that was easy for us to think about relating to other people. But the pandemic surely has caused us all to think a little bit differently. And while we were talking about growing food closer to home, home can mean your house, home can mean your city, your county, your country. And the pandemic, sure, it showed us all that we need to think a little bit bigger about things. So we really have gotten more, I suppose, we're playing a little bigger and thinking about farms and the impact that can have as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the first I saw them was in the pavilion and I was walking around going, what are these things? And you know, it wasn't Cork Rooftop Farm because I've been there plenty of times, but and I was talking to one of the girls out there and she was telling me all about it. Tell us about that, because that was your first kind of farm that you set up in Ireland.
Go for it, Jill.
Okay, so Charlie and Vera, his wife, very kindly lent us some space to set up this farm. Charlie is fantastic. We went to him and said, okay, this is what we want to do. We just need a little bit of space for a little while. What you think? And he was like, you know, because they're all horticulturists. And he's going, okay, great. Yeah, no problem. Great. So we planted and set up our farm in the coldest week of November 2019. They were looking at us as if we had, they actually thought we were crazy. They were just going, oh, okay. We're in a glass house, it's freezing cold, nothing else is growing, and you're planting. We are, yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's going to, you know. So we'd been minding the seedlings for weeks at home, so they were like our little babies, and you know the way you get attached to plants, and we were minding them for months. So we planted, we went off, and things were a bit slow because it was really cold that November. And then he closed for Christmas for 2 weeks. And when we came back after Christmas, they had just exploded. The towers, the plants were just on fire, loving it, loving their new home. The food was delicious. The food was going straight into the cafe in the pavilion. The chefs loved it from the flavor perspective. They had to use less because the flavors are so intense. We were growing things that we you just couldn't get at that time of the year around here, basically, you know. So we were having great fun there. It was great, wasn't it, Jen?
It was like somebody waved a magic wand when we came back after Christmas, and when the garden center opened up, and it was like Jack and the Beanstalk. They just grew, and they kind of went, okay, I get it now. So it was nice to see that. And you know, Charlie and Vera, in fairness, the cafe at the Pavilion is amazing, and they really do embrace the farm to fork ethos. So, you know, while I suppose they were intrigued by this futuristic type growing, it made sense. It was a piece of the puzzle, you know?
Yeah.
Then the pandemic.
And then the pandemic. Tell us a little bit about how you actually got through that.
Oh, gosh. Like everybody else, it was like, okay, step by step, because it unfolded, right? I mean, everything closed. We didn't know for how long. You know, the cafe obviously closed, so they weren't using our food. We did keep the towers there for a while. But then, you know, you're stuck in a 2-mile radius. So we, as Jill said, you know, we couldn't hardly get to our towers. So we brought our towers to others, you know, and to our own house, and then started sharing the food with people locally at the time. So, didn't we, Jill?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did. Yeah, we brought them home, and then we kind of had a bit of an idea to ask some people we knew in the restaurant business, could we just, you know,
put some towers there
so that people could see them at the very least. You know, we could work out the rest after that, but we just had to get the message out there that, you know, what are these things? As you said, Clara, when you saw it first, you were kind of going, what is that?
Yeah. And now I see them everywhere and going, oh, look, they have them. Oh, look, they have them.
Yeah.
They have them actually here just by me in 12 tables. They have them a good, he has his there a good while now.
David Gash, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They do. Yeah, yeah. And that's how the rooftop came about, because Brian,
it's his cousin.
McCarthy is his cousin, is Dave Farrell's cousin. So that's how he saw it there first. And that story evolved. So, you know, I guess it's such a visual product as well. It was the only way. We couldn't get in front of people, so we were trying to get the towers dotted around. So between 12 tables, Republic of Work were also really kind to us. They have towers in there, and that grew, you know, from strength to strength as well. And because they have so many, or had so many before COVID, people coming in and out, you know.
Yeah.
And then Naturally Nourished is another amazing cafe over in Penrose Dock and in Mahon. So yeah, that's what we did. We dotted them around, and you know, that's how people got to see them.
And it was like a great way for, obviously for us, to feel like we kind of were still growing and giving and doing something and trying to get out there and get our message out there. But you know, as Dave and Kat said as well, it was a great way for them to let people know the lights are still on. We're still here. Mm. You know, we're going to be back. And I think even for their family, they get great enjoyment out of it. Just, this is, it's something that's not talked about a lot, but their horticulture therapy, or taking care of plants and growing your own food, and that connection with food, you know, is so important. It's kind of elementary. It sounds kind of silly when you talk about it, but until you actually do it, or you get others to do it and they experience it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree, but that, like Dave and Kat, they didn't expect that, but they were saying they used it as a family and their girls were using it. And it's just been a great ripple effect for them as well. So that's nice to hear.
And I agree. Like I had an allotment for the last 4 years, and it was a large allotment. And I actually gave it up this year just because it was so much hard work, as you say, and for, you know, just getting for your family and produce. I don't have a restaurant or anything like that, so I was using it for my classes, or I was using it for my family. But the convenience of having something now, I got my good old dad to build me a lovely planter box outside, you know, and it's got 5 different layers on it. You know, just outside my door. But it is that thing of always knowing you have it there outside, which, you know, definitely kind of makes you feel good within the family.
It does. You work your meals around what's growing as well, don't you? Obviously, like it's
you do.
Whatever you have a lot of that day, you'll make you know, it's kind of inspiration for your dinner, I guess, really.
Absolutely, you do, you do. Now, that brings us nicely into Cork Rooftop Farms. So I've been up there. My God, it's an amazing site. They've done an amazing job there as well. So you were saying you got the connection through David in 12 Tables, and he introduced you to Brian. So tell us all about that. It must have been an interesting one for you.
It was. I think it was, like, Jill, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember Dave saying, oh, my cousin was interested in a tower. He didn't say towers. He kind of said a tower. yeah, wasn't it?
I think it was all very covert at the time. He wasn't really, nobody was telling anyone else what they were doing.
Yeah.
So it was all a bit kind of secretive and hush hush. So yeah, that's what he said. He was interested in a tower. Yeah.
So we had it went. I had a conversation with Brian on the phone, and he kind of told me about the, you know, the rooftop. And then we've kind of found them on Instagram, and we saw what they were doing with the raised beds, which I thought was just really creative.
Yeah.
You know, that they could move them around with a pallet, and the whole idea of it. So, and it was such an, they were kind of such an inspiration at the time.
Yeah.
To kind of watch what they were doing and have some bit of positivity with everything that was going on. I suppose that we were kind of just naturally drawn to them anyway. And, you know, I think we went up to the rooftop one time and we gave them some produce, and then they started kind of talking about the bigger vision for it. And I don't know. I mean, obviously they probably had a business plan in mind, but I'd say it evolved for them as well. That's.
Oh, it did. I mean, they were my very first guests on my podcast last year, and they hadn't got the towers at this stage yet. They had originally just gone, okay, come on, will we just have a little project for ourselves and have a little, see what happens, start growing stuff. At the start, there was no, let's start a business. And then all of a sudden they were there going, oh, will we just, like, you know, go up on top of the roof? Will we start and see what happens? It's just brilliant. And it is, it had just organically evolved for them as well. So fantastic.
Yeah, I think such hard workers, though, aren't they? They're amazing.
Oh yeah, amazing.
Like, definitely powered by passion. They're so passionate and ambitious, and nothing is a problem. No. Every hurdle, anything that happens, nothing is a problem. They have such a great attitude towards things. I remember just walking up onto the rooftop the first time too, and going, it was just concrete. It was just concrete everywhere. There was nothing there. It was just kind of like a. And they've turned it into this urban oasis in the middle of, you know, and as the project grew. But, you know, we did, that was one, I suppose, you know, when we think about timing of the pandemic, while it wasn't a good thing, we at that time had a few spare towers because of what happened, that we were able to lend them while they were thinking about this and where they're. Where the rooftop farm might grow. And he knew he had to grow up. He knew he had to increase his production per square meter to actually make a proper go of it. So it was a good time for them and for us to be able to work together on it.
What a fabulous project for you guys to be able to be part of as well. I mean, the first rooftop farm in Ireland. Talk about turning around agriculture in Ireland. It was just phenomenal.
They're such innovators. I mean, they really are very forward thinking and just, like, ready to they weren't just dipping their toe in the water. They were just ready to go for it. So everything that we were talking about growing food closer to home, or about, you know, producing food where people consume it closer to where people live and work and play, they were ready to do it. Yeah. And it is the perfect, they are on a roof. They harvest, it goes into the restaurants, it goes directly down into the market on the Colquay. Yeah. I mean, it couldn't be a better model for what we need to be doing.
Fantastic. And I've tried a good bit of the produce there. I mean, talk us kind of a little bit about kind of the different produce that's in there.
Jill, do you want to go? It's like a food forest in there. If you haven't been in, when they do tours, get in there. Jill, do you want to go through a bit of that?
in the terrace, Clara? You know, well, you know what's in the other
Well, place? I know, yeah. but I'm just saying for you guys, it's, you know, just give people an idea of exact.
You know, there's everything from. There's everything from all your regular herbs that you would eat like daily and cook with daily, from parsley, coriander, rosemary, thyme, all the regular herbs, tarragon. They grow a lot of rocket. They grow a lot of mixed mizuna lettuces, yeah. leaves, all sorts of different lettuces, from Lola Rosa to crispy lettuce to butterhead lettuce to, there's just so many. Kamatsuna is one of Brian's favorites, I think, actually, and it looks so pretty on the terrace.
I love that as well.
So yeah, it's really good. Oh. Really good. Yeah. One of the favorites is, my favorites is the mustard leaves and the mixed mustards.
Oh, I love
the oriental mustards. Oh, yeah. They're so spicy. And my other favorite is wasabi rocket. That's another really strong,
delicious,
pungent one, but it's just, it kicks a lot of punch, you know. So they've just, they're maximizing it, really, you know. They've got it all going on rotation cycle, which Jenny will go into more, because that's more her field.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about that, Jenny. I suppose that's the kind of, I suppose, science behind it as well.
You can do it. It's so scalable and modular. I mean, Brian had an idea for, and it's great because he's able to kind of control his environment in there. So he can consistently produce, you know, and Ty is in there. She knows, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about how much seeding needs to be done, because, you know, your growth cycle is 21 to 28 days when a seedling goes in the tower from the time you're able to harvest, you know, and then for baby greens, it's more like 14 days. So all of those things, I mean, the spreadsheets are there and the numbers are there, but, you know, once you start doing it, so, you know, if you're going to harvest, let's say zone one, you need to seed that day as well, so that you have, you know, you have your seedlings ready to go in, and then you're seeding again, because in 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, you're going to be, you know, clearing out that tower and putting in new ones. And some of them are cut and come again, like Jill was saying, you know, that, you know, the baby greens or the baby herbs, the baby kales, all of that, the chard. The tower is like, what they've decided to focus on is the greens, those kinds of things that are so fresh. And I suppose turn over quickly. You know, you can grow really anything in the tower that grows above ground. That's not a tree or a bush. So, I mean, tomatoes, courgettes, aubergines, cucumbers, you know, we're growing a lot of that now on our towers just to grow them. But from a business standpoint, I think Ty and Brian decided the greens and the herbs were what they were going to focus on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're growing basically, I suppose, with 90% less water and space, 3 times more food, 30% faster. And that's, you know, the NASA science. And then there's been some research done at universities in the US to confirm all that. And to know that you're getting all that nutrition. I think that's the other side of it. They've done the studies to know that the phytonutrients are in it. And it's as good as, you know, traditional agriculture, if not better, in certain plants. So you're not skimping on anything too. And we're hoping we're going to be doing some research projects with UCC School of Bees, and that will be
amazing.
So there's a little sneak peek that will be they'll be doing a press release later, but that will be coming in later in this year in the autumn, so that'll be exciting.
That's fantastic, girls. And you know, besides the farm, and I think it's great to see it, and it's great to see that it's in some restaurants as well. But talk to me a little bit about residential sales, Bea. I mean, are you going out looking at opening this up a bit more so people can have them in their homes? And how easy is it for somebody to, you know, have one in their kitchen? Well, first, I suppose you need a bit of space, but
it's like a 24 inch footprint, so you don't need much space. It's the footprint of a chair, amazing, basically.
Yeah.
Because it's vertical. But they're drop shipped. So literally, if you order one, you'll have it within 7 to 10 days delivered to your home. And it's very easy to assemble. We have been helping people put them together and meeting them and bringing them seedlings if they're local, and that, just to get to know people and help them along on their growing journey. But it's such a simple system. Literally, you put it together, fill up the tank with water, add in the nutrients. You will have had to either get seedlings from us or grow your own seedlings. Pop them in when the roots just start showing. And literally everything is automated. So it's all on timers. If you're growing indoors, you need a light, custom light kit, which mimics daylight basically. So it's, you can grow year round with the light. But if you want to just grow outside during the growing season on your patio or on your deck or wherever, in your shed, anywhere at all, you don't need a light system if you're outside. Obviously you rely on Mother Nature, which is good too. So it's literally all automated. So it's all the pump comes on. There's a submersible pump that pumps the water to the top of the tower. And then the roots of the plants are sprayed with the water and the nutrients, and they're oxygenated, and it's all just, their plants are happy and they grow nicely without any hard work at all. No bending, no weeding, no tilling.
Oh, you feel what like was the it? You keep,
there's a
That's
float
my dream.
On it.
No bending, no weeding. Oh, I'm telling you, I loved the allotment and I loved getting the produce, but by God, it's tough work.
It is hard work. Yeah. These are still like plants. You have to keep an eye on them, but there is none of the hard graft, if you like, you know.
Yeah, and that's one of the things as well. I think if you have it in your house, I mean, okay, the allotment is great as well, but it is very seasonal and you really only have it at a certain time of year to be getting really good growth, there.
Yeah.
And even having even what I have outside now as well, it's still seasonal, you know, there's, having something like this and being able to, because as you were saying, Jill, even if they have it in their shed, they could have the light system put into the shed as well.
Yeah, I had to put mine in my shed this winter, my home tower, because my husband was working from home, so he needed the space, basically. Yeah. So it went out to the shed for a few months and was happy out, grew way happy out. Right, yeah. No, you did
That's
need
amazing.
The light. It was indoors, basically. But it just works. You know, it's easy. It's convenient. It just works, is all I can tell you. It's simple growing and it's a really good product, as in it's high quality. The plastic is UV stabilized, BPA free, food grade plastic, which is uses really high quality resins compliant with food and drug guidelines. So it's it's not a cheap product. It's a lifetime product. It's a garden for life.
And tell me, what about the cleaning and the maintaining of it? So after every growth, do you have to clean it out and start again? And how does that work?
No, you don't. Literally, I suppose we're constantly wiping it. You get a little bit of green. It's plants, so it gets a little bit green every now and again. You have to keep an eye on it. Give it a wipe every now and again. But generally speaking, about twice a year, you would take it apart and give it a good clean from top to bottom that way.
That's amazing.
Soak it overnight. And that's it really. Otherwise, you're just, like you would wipe your dishwasher, like you would wipe your fridge, that kind of cleaning, you know.
It's, yeah.
Just maintenance, really.
It's like another appliance. It really is.
It is like an appliance. That's what we liken it to, actually, Dan, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an investment. It's like no one thinks anything about buying a refrigerator now. It's a given. Every house has one. But there was a time when they didn't. And like you really are having living produce. And you use it as you need it. You cut it as you need it. You're not wasting it. Mm-hmm. It's alive. It's fresh. I laugh because Jill's talking about the cleaning because she's a little bit OCD and her dental skills come in very, like she's got the toothbrush out, it's perfectly clean, but you don't have to be that way. That's completely up to you.
Toothbrush and vinegar are my best friends. I don't use vinegar on patients now, just on the counter.
Oh, that's brilliant. And I suppose like that is really one of the biggest advantages for for a residential, just to be constantly have it there as well. What about the restaurant trade? I know you have a few restaurants. Is there plans to grow that side of the business?
Yes.
They've had a hard old, I mean, let's say the hospitality industry has had a hard year. We've all had a hard year, but they've had a particularly hard year. So it's given them time. Like we're talking with a lot of people, but I think timing as well is kind of like, let's get our heads together. Let us get through this time of reopening and restarting and retraining staff. But We do have one coming, another farm coming that will be in a hotel, and that will be coming next month as well.
Amazing.
And they'll be producing 365. So they're going indoor so that they can produce like in more of a controlled environment so they can consistently produce on site. So that's exciting.
That's really exciting. I don't know where you get the time, girls, because it seems like it's constant go with the and the 2V, you know, families, other jobs, and the Green Towers as well. It's, you're phenomenal. It's amazing.
Well, we have a lot of fun doing it, Clara, to be fair.
Yeah. And, you know, it's true, though, isn't it? I mean, it's like when you choose something like this for a business, it's mm-hmm. passion that drives you, isn't it? And, yeah, and your beliefs
absolutely.
In it.
Yeah.
And you definitely can hear by just chatting to you that you're very passionate about it. So that's fantastic. So if I want to get one there in the morning as a, you know, just to be at home, what's it going to put me back cost wise?
So a tower is €659.
Okay.
If you want the LED light kit, it's an additional €300.
Yeah.
So some people are choosing to kind of get started now, not use the lights, and then they'll add the lights right around September, October, depending on how good our autumn is. But you can break it up into 4 installments. And we're hopeful. I mean, we would love, you were asking about the residential market. We'd love more people to be growing in their homes, and we'd love to help people do that. There is a launch through the Tower Garden Tower Farm Company coming for the EU and UK, and that's scheduled for later this year. So hopefully that'll help make the process really easy. Yeah, so we're excited because the launch of the residential home towers are due to happen at the end of this year. So that will help. And hopefully, instead of 4 installments, we can even have 12 installments, which makes it much easier for people to handle
amazing.
The initial investment. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But even 4 installments is amazing. I mean, you know, because what's the lifespan of a tower?
That's a really good question. I will tell you that I know towers that are working in farms for 10 years consistently every day and still working. So it should last you decades as long as you take care of it and clean it. You might have to replace the odd pot or broken wing nut or something along the way, but it should last you a lifetime, really, if you take care of
it. That's good value. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Girls, it's such a genius idea. I absolutely love it. You know, you've talked about it. Next really is just getting out there, getting more residential. The launch is later this year. Going more into restaurants and, of course, a new farm, and then doing the research. So you've no time for anything else now, girls. That's it.
Nope. Except to eat
go.
Produce and have fun
exactly.
cooking it.
Exactly. Enjoy it. So
we're hoping a few cocktail towers might come about because then we can drink
excellent.
And eat as well.
But if you start that, Jenny, no work will get done. You do know that.
That's true. There are pitfalls.
We'll be serving gin instead of rocket. So tell me, girls, how can someone go about finding how to purchase one?
Green Towers Ireland. Sorry, muddle that up. Excuse me, Jenny.
Yeah, no, just sorry. If we're on Instagram or Facebook. And then our website is greentowersireland.com. And there's a place there that talks about the home towers. Because it's pre-launch at the moment, you can't just go on and order online yet, but that is coming. So pre-launch, if you just send us a message, we'll get in touch with you and we'll get your order sorted for you. And we can talk about if you want a setup or some seedling subscriptions, which we're doing for people. Because let's be honest, everybody wants instant gratification. And sometimes waiting 2 or 3 weeks to germinate seeds isn't the fun part about it. And we can just say, great, here's your 20 seeds, here's your tower, and you get growing very quickly. So
girls, it's amazing. Jenny and Jill, it's been an absolute pleasure. I cannot wait to follow your journey and see what's next for you guys. Thank you so much for taking some time out to chat to us. It was fantastic.
Thank you for having us, Claire.
It was a pleasure. It was really lovely.
You're a star. That was so fun.
Not
thank
at
you.
All. It was so much fun.
See you on the rooftop.
Exactly. See you on the rooftop. Woohoo! As the girl said, you can go onto their website, www.greentowersireland.com, to find out more about purchasing one of their towers. And you can also find them on Instagram and Facebook. So be sure to give them a follow. Thank you to everyone for tuning in today. Remember to subscribe, like, and follow so you won't miss any of the wonderful food stories I have on. Thanks to Red FM for the production of this podcast, and I'll be back again in a few weeks with another fabulous food story of Cork.
You've been listening to a Red FM podcast. For more extra content, go to redextra.ie.